The Truth Broadcast program is sponsored by the generous support of our partners and friends and by the ministries of Living Waters Church.
Welcome to the Truth Broadcast with Pastor Dwight Shepherd. On today's broadcast, we'll discover truth from God's Word that brings freedom. So grab your Bible as we join Pastor Dwight now for today's message.
Psalm 34. Hallelujah. I'm going to do my absolute best to just give you what God gave me. He downloaded it to me the other day in prayer, and I haven't been able to let go of it. So I know that it's His will for us to go here. Psalm 34, we're going to just start in verse 1 in just a second. I want to pray and ask the Lord to bless this study of His Word and let the Holy Spirit speak to us. And then I want to give you some context about what we're about to read before we read it. Gracious Heavenly Father, as we open Your Word, we also open our eyes and our ears and our hearts. We desire to hear from You, and Lord, we desire to be the people that You called us to be and want us to be. We look to You, the author and the finisher of our faith. Grow us in Your Word today, Father. And let us learn in such a way that we can help others and teach others around us. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. The Psalm 34, before the first verse, mine says this is a psalm of David when he pretended to be insane before Abimelech, who drove him away and he left. Now, if you go back and you read the story of that happening, David got captured by this wicked king, Abimelech. And David had been this king's sworn enemy, so it's like, uh-oh, game over for David. David's God's anointed. The Bible doesn't say that David asked the Lord, oh God, what am I going to do? And God said, just act crazy and He'll let you go. It doesn't say that that's how it went down, but somehow David got this idea. If I pretend to be insane, they'll let me go. Really? Yeah, because they would be afraid that that spirit that caused him to be insane would get on them if they killed him. So David got this brilliant, right now, perfect timing moment idea. And he pretended to be insane. The Bible, in the account of it, David let drool come out of his mouth. And he just drooled and he acted all weird. And he went over and he scratched on the gates. And he just acted crazy. And he was just pretending. And Abimelech's like, do I not have enough crazy people in my kingdom? You had to bring this one too? Get him out of here. Let him go. Send him away. And David went away. And I'm sure when he got out there just a little ways, he goes, woo, see you, buddy. You know? And he was free. He was facing certain death. But God gave him, I believe, God gave him an idea that set him free. Here's how David responded to that. The 34th Psalm is how David responded to God bringing him through a situation. He said this. He said, I will extol the Lord at all times. Extol. You know what that, I bet you don't even know what that means. I didn't until I looked it up in the dictionary. See, sometimes it pays to put forth some effort. You can learn something. I will extol the Lord at all times. You know what it means? It means to praise Him in a loud voice. Out loud. Not in here. It's great to praise God in your heart. It's great. But nobody else but you benefits from that. And God, if God wanted us to never lift our voices to Him, the Bible wouldn't be over and over and over talking to us about lift your voice, shout to the Lord with the voice of triumph, you know, honor the Lord with the fruit of your lips. He'd be like, just keep God, just praise Him in your heart, people. Just sit there and just praise Him in your heart. It's like, no, that is incomplete. It's good. It's not that it's bad. It's good. It's just incomplete. All right? So David said, I'm going to extol the Lord. I'm going to praise Him in the loud voice at all times. His praise will always be on my lips. Always. What if he's having a bad day? He ain't stopping praising because he knows that his strength through that trouble is the praise that's on his lips. And he said, I'm going to keep on praising Him. He said, my soul will boast in the Lord. Now watch this. Let the afflicted hear it and rejoice. That's why it's so important for you and I to go around in victory, living in victory, praising God. Somebody say, how are you doing today? Don't give them a medical report. Come on. Don't give them a matter. Don't tell them about how you've had all these problems this week. If you do, if you start down that road, you make sure and tell them how you've had all them victories over all them problems. And if you haven't had your victory yet, then don't start talking about the problem. It's all right to talk about your challenges. It's all right to share it with other people. But the challenges don't glorify God. It's the way we are in the challenge and the way we overcome the challenge that glorifies God. David was giving glory to God for something that he had overcome that literally looked like, dude, you are toast. You are not going to make it out of here. But he did. He did. And so he said, as I am praising the Lord in a loud voice, his praise is on my lips, my soul is boasting in the Lord, somebody else is going to hear it. Let the afflicted hear it and rejoice. In other words, while I'm praising, somebody else around me, they're going through it, man. They're being afflicted. They got troubles, and they start hearing me talk about how good God is, what God brought me up out of, how he's been with me no matter what. And they hear it, and they start going, you know, if God could do it for him or her, God could do it for me. And they start getting hope from our testimony. Does your testimony glorify God, or does it sound like you're just groaning? You know, I think some people's got to call them their testigronies. You know, I've been in a place before and you ask for testimony and somebody stand up and go, well, I just want you to know the devil's been doing. I'm like, I ain't asking what the devil's been doing. I'm asking what God has been doing in your life in spite of what the devil's been doing. Amen. So David was bragging on the Lord. Watch, he said, the afflicted hear it and they will rejoice. Next verse says, glorify the Lord with me and let us exalt his name together. Glorify. I like the Passion Translation in that. Watch it. Look at verse 3, Passion Translation. Join me, everyone. Let's praise the Lord together. Let's make him famous. Let's make him famous. Hallelujah. I've been guilty of it a few times. I start telling testimony, and I start bragging on my faith. Oops. We're supposed to be making him famous. It's all about him. And we're talking about how good he is, how wonderful he is. Amen. So let's make him famous. Verse 4, back to the NIV. I sought the Lord, and he answered me. See, that tells you that David got his wisdom from God. I sought the Lord, and he answered me, and he delivered me from all my fears. The things that I was afraid of, God delivered me from them. And he didn't just deliver me from the situations. Listen to me. He delivered me from the fear of the situations. Sometimes God does not get you out of the lion's den. He just anoints you to not be afraid of the lions while he keeps their mouth shut. Come on, am I right? I mean, Daniel could have literally died of an anxiety, panic, heart attack when they threw him in there with the lions. Everybody else up until that time, every other human being that had ever been thrown in that lion's den pit that Daniel was thrown in was immediately attacked and devoured, torn limb from limb and eaten or partially eaten by those lions. And I can assure you, Daniel had witnessed it. So when they get ready to throw him in that lion's den, he could have literally just died of a fear. But he wasn't afraid, was he? Because why? Because he had sought the Lord, and the Lord had delivered him from all his fears. Fear don't have any place in our lives. I said this a couple weeks ago, and I'm going to keep saying it and make sure I don't forget it. The Lord revealed to me, he said, worry is the worship of the spirit of fear. Worry is the worship of the spirit of fear. So I ain't worshiping no spirit of fear. That's from the devil. Really? Are you worrying about something? Sometimes I catch myself starting to. Come on, I catch myself, and I mean that. Sometimes I do catch myself starting to worry. But I'm catch myself, and I capture those thoughts, and I say, That's not how it's going to go. God is God. God has the final say in all this. And he's bigger than anyone or anything, and so I'm putting my trust in God, and I just shut that worry off. Amen? Hallelujah. There's no room for worry in our lives when we have God. I sought the Lord and he answered me, delivered me from all my fears. Those who look to him, verse 5 says, are radiant. Their faces just glow with confidence. Even in the midst of a trial, have you ever seen anybody go through a trial with victory all over them? And you're standing on the outside and you're looking and going, man, I don't know how they can be so strong in all of this. It's the Lord. I sought the Lord. He heard me, delivered me from my fears. Those that look to him are radiant and their faces are never covered with shame. In other words, you're never going to go wrong trusting God. Amen. This poor man called and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all of his troubles. That's his testimony. And then he began to share with us how and why that happens. He said, the angel of the Lord. I guarantee you this, my kids growing up knew this verse like they know the back of their hand. If you can go to any one of my kids and you can say this, you can say, the angel of the Lord encamps and they will, or surrounds, and they'll finish it for you. Because they heard it. They heard it from their mother. They heard it from their dad. And they heard it almost on an everyday basis, didn't they, Sharon? When we tucked their little heads in bed at night, we prayed over them and we prayed, the angel of the Lord encamps around about those who fear him. And then we taught them that that didn't mean to be afraid of God. It meant to reverence God and respect God and honor God. And how many of you realize this? I'm going to minister to myself for just a second. And the word of God will not return void, but it will accomplish the purpose for which it was sent. I have a harvest. The angel of the Lord encamps around about those who fear him, and he does what for them? He delivers them. God delivers everybody? Angel of the Lord encamps around everybody? No. No. The angel of the Lord, the angel of the Lord, not an angel of the Lord. There's a difference. Does it say the angel? Yeah. Angel, spirit. The spirit of the Lord. God's very own presence. Are angels involved in our protection? Absolutely. He will give his angels, plural, charge over you to do what? Keep you. They'll keep you in all your ways. The angels of the Lord. But the angel of the Lord, the spirit of the Lord, the presence of the Lord, encamps around or encircles those who do what? Fear him. Now, when Sharon was a little girl and went to church a lot, she heard about the fear of the Lord. They used to preach the fear of the Lord a lot more than they do. Even myself, I don't preach about the fear of the Lord very often. And I told you that when I was up here and worshiping the Lord and praying over you and me and us and whatever, that the Lord dropped it in my spirit, say, I want you to minister about the fear of the Lord. And he specifically, I believe with every fiber of my being, he spoke to me and he said, my people need to know that they need to fear the Lord. In the way I received it was about that tone of voice too. He said, my people need to know that they need to fear the Lord. Now, you know me. I preach a lot about love because God is love. And if you ain't preaching love, you ain't preaching God. Okay? I want to get that straight. I'm not going to back up and go against all of that. But there still needs to be, I'm going to call it this way, a very healthy respect for who God is and how God is. He is not our servant that by our faith we just pray and he does stuff for us. And wouldn't that make him more my slave than my God if that's all there was to it? He's not my slave. He is my God. And even if he wasn't my God and that I claimed, he would still be my God. And when I stood before him, I'd say, oh, my God. I don't use those words like that. I'm talking to him. You may hear me say, oh, my gosh. Oh, my goodness. Golly gee whiz. No, I don't really say that. That'd be completely nerdy. Golly gee whiz, Wally. What are we going to do, Beaver? You know, so whatever. But everyone who stands before the overwhelming awesomeness of his presence, they're going to know he is God. And he is the God. And there is none like him. And I mean, when you read about him in the Old Testament and people who had visions of seeing him or people who came in an encounter with his presence that was overwhelming. Overwhelming.
We hope you're being blessed and encouraged as Pastor Dwight shares this inspiring teaching from God's Word today. And would like to take a moment to thank you for listening and invite you to reach out to us here at the Truth Broadcast. It would be our honor to stand in faith with you in prayer about any need you have and to rejoice with you for the wonderful things God is doing in your life. You can contact us by email at thetruthbroadcast@yahoo.com, find us on Facebook, or by calling or texting us at 580-665-9866. We would also like to invite you to sow into this ministry of God's Word by sending your offering of support to P.O. Box 142, Burns Flat, Oklahoma, 73624. Your seed will help us reach and teach as many people as possible with the truth of God's Word. Thank you again for your prayers and support. Now let's join Pastor Dwight for the rest of today's message.
So the presence, the angel, the spirit of the Lord encamps or encircles those who fear him. So I want that. I want that. I want the presence of the Lord camping around about me everywhere I go. Amen? I want that. So is it up to him or up to me that that happens? It's up to me. Because my job is to respond to what he promised. And he promised that his spirit would encamp always around those who fear him. That means to revere him, not be afraid of him. Okay? Revere him or respect him or honor him, not like be afraid of him. But it tells us in a lot of places that God is a righteous, holy, just judge. If the judge is my father, it's not that he would be a different being when he took his black robe off. He'd still be the same being. But he has different roles to fulfill. At one point in my life, he's helping me learn how to put my bicycle chain on. And he's helping me with that. And he's encouraging me. And he's telling me how much he loves me. And then he goes and he puts that black robe on because he has to fulfill his duty as a judge. And he sits on that bench. And it wouldn't matter if it was me or it was anybody else. If the law has been broken for him to be a righteous and a just judge, he has to punish equally every person who breaks the law. And what we have lost as a generation, we've gained a lot in our revelation of God, our loving Father, and we certainly needed that. But in the process, many people have literally lost respect for God. They treat God as if he is their fair-weather friend who's Mr. Fix-It when they need him. Okay? I'm not saying you do that, but I'm saying many people do. And we don't understand what it means to actually fear God. So I want to look at some scriptures that maybe will help us. First of all, before we turn to, you can be turning to Deuteronomy. I'm going to have Caden show us Malachi 3:6. Let's me and you turn to Deuteronomy chapter 10. Deuteronomy chapter 10, that's way up in the front, where God was first revealing his covenant identity to his people Israel. Show us Malachi 3:6. I, the Lord, do not change. Therefore, O descendants of Jacob, you are not destroyed. I, the Lord, do not change. That's the part I want you to get locked into your memory. Someone says to you, you know, well, God, you know, he's this way, that way. The Bible says, Malachi 3:6, I, the Lord, do not change. Here's why I want you to lock that into your spirit. Because the enemy is going to try to cause confusion and doubt about how God is, because sometimes people get away with things or seem to get away with things that are evil, and then others not, and you think, well, I don't know. I, the Lord, don't change. God said, I don't change. Here's how that ministers to me. It's like if God liked it then, he likes it now. If he hated it then, he hates it now. He may not deal with it in the same way because they had a covenant that was different than the covenant we have. We have a better covenant established on better promises, but guess what? We have the same God. He said, I don't change. Let me ask a question. Did God change? Never.
If he liked it then, he likes it now. If he hates it then, he hates it now. God don't change. All right? So that's Old Testament, though, Pastor. That's Old Testament. Let's go to Hebrews 13:8, just one verse. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Guess who else don't change? Because he is God. Jesus, the Son of God, is God, and I, the Lord, do not change. And I'm making a point. We're building a foundation. We're going to put up the beautiful house. Now, we're in Deuteronomy chapter 10. Same God we're serving now. Same Jesus we love now. Said these words to his covenant people back then. Look at 10:12. Deuteronomy 10:12. He said, "Now Israel, what does the Lord your God ask of you but what?" What's the first thing he mentions? "But to fear the Lord and to walk in his ways and love him and serve the Lord with all your heart and soul and observe the Lord's commands and decrees that I'm giving you today for your own good." The first thing he mentioned to him, God dealing with his people. He said, what does God ask of us? What does he demand? But number one, to fear the Lord. And then he goes on and he starts, I believe, in that 12th verse, what he's talking about is he's talking about what the fear of the Lord actually looks like in action. Fear the Lord, your God. Walk in his ways. Love him. Serve the Lord with all your heart and all your soul. Was that God's suggestion to his people or was that his demand? It was his demand. I've read a lot in the Old Testament. You start reading all of the Old Testament and you start reading all of God's dealings with mankind. Man, there is some times that it's like, woo-wee. You know, I mean, they're on the peak of the mountain and it's all glory. And then there's the complete total opposite of that, where they have forsaken God, and because they've forsaken God, the judgment has come upon them, and I mean, they're being torn every which way but good. Because it really does come down to this. There are only really two options. You either have the blessing of God, or you have the curse that comes from godlessness. A cursed life is a troubled, tear you up every which way you look life. And there is no victory. I'm not saying that if you're living a blessed life, you're never going to have challenges. Jesus himself told us we're going to have tribulation in this world. But he said, but be of good cheer because I overcame the world. And in saying that, he's saying, if I overcame it, you can overcome it. But you have to overcome it the same way he did. Not by dying on a cross. He did that part. You overcome it by the same way Jesus did. And that is by choosing to fear God. Jesus walked in reverential fear of the Father. All of the prophets of old who you would know, like Elijah, Elisha, Moses, they walked in reverential fear of the Lord. They were afraid to be apart from the covenant of God. I hope I'm communicating it properly. Listen, we need to have a very, very healthy respect for who God is. If you're living outside the will of God, violating his covenant, thumbing your nose at him, and he's a righteous and a just and a holy God, there have to be consequences for those actions. You see, but Jesus, oh, I'm with you, but here's the truth of the matter. Be not deceived. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he reap. If you sow to please the flesh, of the flesh you will reap destruction. If you sow to please the Spirit, of the Spirit you will reap life everlasting. I just quoted to you word for word what God said about it. In the New Testament, Galatians. It's not, hey, I got Jesus, he's my get out of jail free card. Get out of hell free card. But that doesn't mean that when I receive Jesus, I can just do whatever I want. I've got to respect God. And listen, if the enemy starts tempting me to do something off over here outside the will of God, I need to realize something. There is a just, righteous, holy God who demands that I fear him, demands that I walk in his ways, demands that I love him. They asked Jesus, what's the greatest commandment? What did he answer? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind and strength. Well, I can't very well say I love God. Oh, God, I love you, but I'm not going to listen to what you say. I love you, but I'm only going to call on you when I'm in a crisis. That's not love. Amen. Oh my. So God said to them, fear the Lord, walk in his ways, love him, serve him, and observe his commands and decrees, because they're given to you for your own good. Verse 13 says they're for your own good. Why does God demand of us to live a holy life? Because it's for our good that we do it. Hallelujah. Look back at Psalm 34 where we were before. Are we okay? Psalm 34, we'll just refresh a minute of what we looked at. Verse 7, Psalm 34, 7, the angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him. He delivers them. I need that. Set free, delivered from things. I need to be separated. Look at verse 8, taste and see the Lord is good. Hang on a minute, taste and see. How many know that tasting is an experience? I can't tell you what something tastes like. I could say, well, it's similar to this or similar to that. But you got to experience it. What if a total stranger came up to you, total stranger, with a cup, and they go, here, taste this. How many of you are going to refrain from that? I think I'll pass. They say, yeah, but it's good. I don't know you. I don't know your character. I'll tell you what, let me look at it. I don't know. Notice this. The word says, taste and see the Lord is good. It doesn't say, see and taste the Lord is good. Why not? Because the tasting of the goodness of the Lord is something that's done by faith. Because you know who he is and how he is. It literally could be trust and see that the Lord is good. He is good. Now watch. Blessed is the man who takes refuge in him. Verse 9. Back to our subject. Fear the Lord. Make sure I read this right. Look at your Bible. Fear the Lord, you heathen sinners. Is that what it says? No, it is not what it says. It says, fear the Lord, who? You, his saints, his separated people. Fear the Lord, you, his separated people, you saints. For those who fear him lack nothing. You're not going to miss out on any good thing by fearing the Lord and doing things his way. You will miss out on some things. You'll be happy you missed out on it. How many know there are a lot of people dealing with the consequences of their sinful actions? And even though they may be forgiven, those sinful actions had consequences. But no one ever got themselves in trouble by doing things God's way, by saying, you know, here's the old devil saying, come here, let's do this, and Holy Spirit's like, uh-uh. And then you go, well, you know, if I did that, here's the deal. If I did that, maybe nobody else would know about it. But see, if you have fear of the Lord, you're like this. Everything I do, God knows about. And he's a holy God and a just God. And he will not just go, well, I love them. They can do whatever they want. I'll pat them on their head. See, God loves you enough to discipline you. Discipline, not beat you. Discipline you. Train you how to do what's right. So fear the Lord, you his saints. That's for me and you. That fear the Lord, Dwight. Fear the Lord. Because those that fear him lack nothing. I say, Lord, I want to live a life of lacking nothing. He goes, then it's real simple. Just respect me, honor me. Let every decision you make be guided by my holiness, my righteousness, my Holy Spirit, my word. And then you don't lack anything. Man, sign me up. I won't lack anything life. Sign me up. God says, well, the application's right there. You just have to keep filling it out one decision at a time.
Thank you for joining us today on the Truth Broadcast. We invite you to join us on next week's program as Pastor Dwight continues this powerful message from God's Word. If you would like to request a free digital copy of today's teaching in its entirety, contact us by email at truthbroadcast@yahoo.com. For prayer requests, you can call or text us at 580-515-4319.
Well, this is Pastor Dwight Shepherd, and once again, I'd like to invite you that if you're traveling here in Western Oklahoma or looking for a church home where you can grow in your relationship with Jesus, we'd like to invite you to join us here at Living Waters Church of Burns Flat. We meet on Sunday mornings at 10 a.m. and Wednesday evenings at 7 p.m. So on behalf of myself and the church at Living Waters and all of us here at Truth Broadcast, thanks again for tuning in. God bless you in Jesus' name.
The Truth Broadcast program is sponsored by the generous support of our partners and friends and by the ministries of Living Waters Church.